there. And when it takes that long, obviously they're struggling with it.
Right.
So they came back and said, well, the reason it took me so long was he kicked it. He said, number one, he kicked it without a doubt. But number two, I just wanted to make sure he didn't get his stick on it before he put it in the net. So that was the explanation. We don't get a chance to see that. I would still like to see that goal.
So you haven't seen it either?
No, I would like to. Usually we get an opportunity to see that after the game, and I have not. So I would like to see that goal just to see how clear it is, because, you know, if you're stopping or you're turning your foot, you know, It doesn't necessarily mean it's a kicking motion.
Right.
The kicking motion is the way the rule book explains, is that actually clear cut where you're actually your skate comes off the ice, you know, and there's that kicking motion to direct the puck in the net. So it's still controversial, you know, and you have to go with the referees. You have to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've seen it from the overhead. You haven't. But even on the overhead, sometimes it's hard to see. So I'd like to get a view of it.
Yeah, I would love to see it, too. Some of the video people, tech, you know, they obviously had a chance to see it. And they said, from their view of it, right, it does look like they probably made the right call.
But that's my thing. When you call it, there has to be, you know, clear cut.
Yeah.
Evidence to overrule yourself. And
of course,
that's
where that ref
question.
Was, too, I can understand how he, live, there's no way he could have seen it. He was on the opposite side of the net.
Yeah, behind the net, so you can't really see what's going on. And that's why you have video replay. And, you know, I always tell our team when they're reviewing goals like that, whatever happens, we got to get back with it. You know, whether it's a goal or whether it's a no goal, we have to stay with it and be ready to play the next shift and not let that affect us.
All right, so it's still 1-0 Bemidji State after two periods of play. We still have not scored. We outshoot them 10-9 in the second period, a little bit closer in the shot chart in that second period. We go to the third period and we get a big early goal by somebody who's really pumped up about it and should be. Daniel Holmberg, who had a couple of chances earlier in the game, ties it up at the 2:18 mark of the third.
Baltus in on the forecheck going against Travivesis. Puck gets by him. Held in by Hedelon. Knocks it down for Baltus to the front of the net. Here's the shot. Season.
Well, Holmberg gets a big goal, and that was a nice one. And you feel good for a kid like that, don't you, Coach, who's been working so hard?
No question. I mean, Daniel's come in the lineup and played extremely well. I know he's probably played more games this year, I would just think to say, than he did all of last year. So good for him. He's been responsible defensively. He's been really good on faceoffs. And, you know, he's just played hard and done what we've asked of him. So he's had some scoring opportunities, and it was nice for him to get that goal, because he had one in the second period. Malcolm Gold fed it to him wide open in front of the net, and Wilkins, Bemidji's goaltender, made a great save. So good for Daniel. We needed a spark. Obviously, we got it from him, and that was a big goal for us in the game.
Brent Baltus and Blake Hedela get the assist, 2:18 the time of that goal, 1-1 the score, and the Huskies get there. Only first and only lead of the game. C.J. Eich gets his third of the season. Mike Neville gets the assist along with Brad Stebner. A beautiful play here, and this made it 2-1.
Shot in. Here's a chance for Neville. Over for Eich. Hit the post. Scores! C.J. Eich hit the post and went in. What a play by Eich and Neville. And Michigan Tech has taken a 2-1 lead. Just 17:05 left in the third period.
So the Huskies, with that goal, it went off of the post, went off the back of the goaltender, and then in the net. C.J. Eich was the first one to know it went in because he traveled behind the net to see it.
Well, he did. It was a real, real good play. Nice given goal between C.J. C.J. passed to Mike Neville, and looked like Mike was going to drive or take a shot, and made a quick return pass to C.J., who was driving the net, and C.J., what I liked about CJ is he just shot it right away. Didn't fool around with it. Didn't dust the puck off. Just shot it right away. Beat the goalie clean. You could hear the post even on your replay there. And it kicked off the post, hit the goalie in the back of the leg, and went in the net. So, but I like that. I like scoring. You know, we had some momentum, and things are starting to go our way. We get, you know, the first lead. And at that point, I think, you know, as coaches and, you know, team, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves.
And we can't get that next goal. Hey, we just couldn't get the next
goal. Well, and the thing about it, as you recall, we had some real good shifts. And a lot of pressure on their net, and we were carrying the play and then the stick.
Yeah. Yeah, a shot from the point by the Huskies dominated inside of the Bemidji State zone. Shot taken and broken stick, and that allowed Corey Ward to come down, and he just made something happen out of nothing there. Just a great play. He still had a defender in front of him and kind of used him as a screen.
Yeah, tough play. Like you said, we were dominating. We were cycling the puck well, had a couple of good scoring opportunities. It comes out to the defenseman, Cliff Watson, and he's wide open, and it's like a slow rolling puck right to him, and you can just tell he's just going to tee it up and bomb it. And like I said, so much for those $200 sticks. I mean, he just broke his stick, and the puck trickled right to Corey Ward, and now they get not a breakaway. We had another defenseman back, and I just didn't like how our defenseman played it. He looked like our defenseman thought it was an odd man rush, thought it might be a 2-on-1 instead of just going to their player Corey Ward and taking his time and space away. We let him come in the zone and sort of set up shop at the top of the circle and do what he wanted. If we had to replay that again, I'm sure a defenseman would have went right at him and forced him to do something, because Corey Ward's not going to beat you 1-on-1 a lot. He's a shooter. Mm-hmm. He's not a great skater, so you have to go and take the body away. And if you give him time to shoot it, though, as you can see, he can shoot it. And unfortunate break for us in a game that, we're just starting to really start to play, and the momentum gets snapped by that goal.
Corey Ward gets the goal. It's unassisted, his 10th of the season, and the score is all tied up again, 2-2. We have a lot of time still left in the third period, but we're not able to score. Michigan Tech gets 9 shots in the third to Bemidji State's 5. We go to overtime, and the Huskies outplay Bemidji State again. 5-2 are the shots. Could not get the game winner. 38-21, the final shots in favor of the Huskies. 2-2 overtime tie.
Yeah, disappointing. And we had a couple chances in overtime. I know Shane Hanna drove through the middle there and had a real good redirect. And so we're pushing the pace. We're pushing the pace. I like how our team is playing. We're aggressive on offense. We're forechecking hard. We're creating a lot turnovers and scoring opportunities. I thought our team did a good job. I watched Bemidji the weekend before, and they played Miami, who was a top 15 team. And Bemidji did a real good job on Miami, even though they tied and I think lost the second
6-3,
night.
Yeah,
but the games were a lot closer. And I thought we did a real, real good job with breakouts, moving the puck through the neutral zone, and then obviously the forecheck. So we're just having trouble finishing. And that's something we've talked about a lot, Dirk. It's really hard to preach and do the offense. I mean, it takes some skill. Sometimes you need some little poise, you need a little puck luck. Sometimes you got to grip your stick a little bit harder. Sometimes you got to grip it less. So anyway, we're doing a lot of really, really good things. And what I like is we're putting ourselves in a position to win every game. We might not be winning every game, but we're right there. It's not like we're coming in here and we're getting outplayed and we have no chance. We have a chance every game, and that's important.
You were not happy, though, with the face-offs on Friday night.
No, we were bad. And that's like I told our team Saturday morning in the pregame meeting, that to me is an indication if you're ready to play, like really ready to play. And it's a fine line. I mean, these games are so close and so tight. If one team just has that little extra step, it doesn't have to be huge, just that little extra step, then, most nights are going to have that chance to win. But face-offs are important because, to me, that shows if you're prepared, you're ready. It's not only in centermen. It's the wingers, the defensemen. They can jump in depending on the formation and win the face-off. So I was disappointed in our face-offs, and that was just an indication we were just that little off on Friday night.
All right, so the final score on Friday night, 2-2 in overtime. Michigan Tech and Bemidji State get a point. Huskies move their record to 6-8-3 overall, 4-3-2 in the WCHA. Bemidji goes to 5-8-4 and 5-4-2 in league play. The Huskies still trailing by 2 points, a chance to tie Bemidji in the standings with a win on Saturday night. It didn't happen, but we'll have the recap of that game coming up in just a little bit. You are tuned to the Mel Pearson Show on Mix 93. If you have a question for Coach, you can email it to me at any time, dj@themix93.com. That's dj@themix93.com. We're back after this.
The countdown to Christmas has begun, and University Images and the Campus Bookstore are ready with the 12 Days of Christmas sale. Take up to 50% off on selected Michigan Tech merchandise each day from December 9th through the 20th. Something different will be featured each day. For daily special and hours, visit their Facebook page at Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and click on like. Remember, the public is always welcome.
Bud Light salutes Lions fans and all their superstitions. like the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys, and the fans who sit next to the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys. You know that watching the game is not a game, and your Sunday morning routine is a necessary ritual. We salute the dedicated fans who have to cover their eyes and miss all the biggest plays.